Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Brenda Ward, along with my co-host, Barbara Buffing, here at the Traditional American Patriot Network. And we want to thank you for joining us tonight. If you want to be a guest on the show, you can call in and give us your opinion. The number is 657-383-1908. And we didn't have a show last week. Unfortunately, I had the laryngitis, and so I could not speak. So here we are, and we didn't really get to talk about the debate, the last Republican debate, any. Or tomorrow's Super Tuesday, so we need to get a rundown on what's kind of happening in this race. And of course, the ever complicit media is, you know, oh, it's all but over. Donald Trump's got this nomination in the bag. Let me, folks, he's got 86 delegates. Yes, he has a lead in maybe 8 of the whatever 10, 12 states tomorrow, but there's undecided voters out there. So, you know, no, he doesn't have this thing locked up. And I am so sick and tired of the media bias that runs throughout our election process. It happens every year. It's been going on for decades. The George Bush propaganda, anti-George Bush propaganda back in 2004 was insane. Insane, and it would just make me so angry. And a lot of it's subtle, so you don't necessarily, unless you're watching for it, you're not necessarily going to notice it because it's subtle. But, you know, we're still in Afghanistan and still have soldiers being killed, you know, and there's mass murders going on all across the different countries by ISIS. But, you know, listening to the mainstream media, you wouldn't know it because it's not in their agenda. But all we heard when Bush was running was about the war and how many casualties and this and blah and blah. And that's how they do it, subliminal. Or you'll notice that if it's a Republican that did something, they'll make sure and note and say the Republican, you know. But they won't say, you know, if it's a Democrat, they will not name a party. Now, this is propaganda at its best. This is manipulation of the American people. And today, I've been seeing it all over the television with, oh, Trump's got this locked up. We've had 4 states vote so far. 4 states, that's it. But he's got this locked up. And then they're trying to tell you it's close in Texas. It's not close in Texas. Ted Cruz is going to win Texas by a big number. Probably not big enough to take all the delegates, but it's a high delegate state, 155 delegates. But it just really, really makes me angry because the media drives this. All you hear about is Trump this, Trump that, Trump this, Trump that. And I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of it, and I really don't know what to make of this Trump phenomena. Because I am a social conservative. I am consider myself part of the base of the Republican Party. The silent majority is not these angry people coming out of the walls to be first-time voters and driving up voter turnout to record numbers. They are not the silent majority. They are angry people. We've been angry. And we've been working very hard for the last, some of us, 10, 12 years, so that we could be in a position to put a true conservative in the White House with a truly conservative Congress. That's what the Tea Party did in 10 and 14. And now we have this egomaniac. And there's a very good article out on the Washington Post about the myth of Donald Trump. That is taking over our hard work. Because these people who are voting, they have no idea what we've been doing here, Barbara, on this radio show for years, or, you know, making phone calls out in the trenches, the last election or the election before, or knocking on doors and working on getting our conservatives in on a national level. And we have complete ignorant people supporting a man who stands on the debate stage, and when you ask him what his policy is for health care, a big, very big issue that's going to be in the general election, because Obamacare is a disaster that's ruining our health care, even driving it farther into the ground, does nothing to cost. He says we're going to get rid of the lines around the states. We're going to get rid of the lines around the states. Really? That's your answer? That's your answer? Because, you know, the Republicans have had that answer for decades. The Democrats don't like that answer, but it does drive competition. But there is actually a bill that never got out of committee that had that proposition in it by the Republicans. And they always say the Republicans don't have a plan. So Donald Trump's plan is, we'll get rid of the lines around the states. Not a plan, Donald. Not a plan. And then his supporters, oh my gosh, he name calls, he threatens, he sues, he acts like a little baby child. And then when he gets attacked, his supporters go nuts. He attacks all the time, but if you attack Donald Trump, I don't know. Barbara, you jump in here, because I am just...
I'll tell you. I'm also bewildered, because you talk about low-information voters, but it's not just low-information voters. It actually scares me that Jeff Sessions... He's one of the good guys in there, Senator Sessions, who actually is for Trump, and
I know.
Things, people like that scare me. And
here's what I think, Barbara.
You know, one of our other guys, Carl Higbee, he's for Trump. I mean, these people are knowledgeable people, and it scares me that they're thinking that Trump's going to do the job.
And
I read people really well. And Trump is definitely a fraud. He is so full of it. I mean, and that's why he takes to bullying. Just like Obama does. Obama takes to bullying because he doesn't get his way.
Exactly. And do we really want more of that? Really want more of what we've been through the last 8 years, that any time you say something negative, you get attacked and called a liar and called idiots and stupid? Is that what we really need in this country right now? You know, this is my question for these Trump people. Is that what we really need?
Definitely scares me.
Scares me, too, and I don't know what's going to be the outcome tomorrow. I'm hoping that we have some outperform and he underperforms, but we shall see, because this debate will play into it. And they did go after him.
Well,
kind of aggravated
me, and they also,
because we didn't get to hear from Ben Carson very much, or even Kasich. And you know what? Kasich is not people's favorite, but he does have some good ideas. You know, I'll give him that. But
well, you know, my thing with Kasich is I pay attention to people's posture.
Mm-hmm.
And his posture, I mean, even when they were singing the national anthem, his hand was kind of in his jacket, like his jacket was holding it up, and he was slouched over, not kind of proud. I mean, I'm sure these guys are tired, too. I mean, it's been a grueling campaigning season for everybody, because it's been grueling for us.
Mm-hmm.
But just his posture and his, I don't know, he sounds very arrogant to me. I don't care for Kasich at all.
Yeah, he's not my, I mean, he's kind of my last pick, but, well, no, I'd take him over Trump. I really would at this point, because I don't know. Trump is a wild card, because he speaks out of both sides of his mouth within, you know, standing on the debate stage,
right,
he did this, with the socialized
yes.
medicine. I'm not,
yes.
he spouts liberal rhetoric, and this is what really bothers me. You know, the Planned Parenthood argument has always been, but they do women's health care, and what about all these poor women who won't have health care for their cervical cancer if we don't have Planned Parenthood? Well, let me tell you the falsehood of that story, because here in Indiana, you know, they said, tried that argument. So we said, fine, take the abortion business, make it separate from your Planned Parenthood services, and we'll be happy to fund you. You know what? They wouldn't do it. And you know what that tells me? That tells me that their abortion is their business. It is
right.
nothing about helping women. And when he gets out there and spouts the liberal talking points on Planned Parenthood and health care, oh, we're going to let them die in the streets. Nobody's going to die in the streets. That's what we have Medicaid for. You know?
Right.
Here in Indiana, you can't deny
but
care. Now, I know in Florida they can, but it's a state issue. Here in Indiana, you can't deny care to anybody that walks into the hospital. You can't do it. It's
right.
not legal. That's all they have to do
I
in the state.
I think that's a federal law.
I don't know if it's federal now. It hadn't been in the past because Florida would turn people away. But so I don't know what the federal law is, but I know that's a state law. It's very simply remedied, where you just say you can't turn people away. And then nobody dies
right.
in the streets. But, you know, these are
right.
liberal talking points. These are not conservative talking points. They never have been. And they are now.
Okay. Here's another thing that got me with Donald Trump. He says the government's going to pay for the health care.
Yeah.
The government doesn't have any money. It's our tax dollars.
Yeah.
Does he even know that?
He's going to be great. It's going to be great. He's going to bring jobs. It's going to be great. He's going to tax China. It's going to be great. Great. Say it great. And it's going to be the best thing ever. It's going to be great. But Rubio...
And he's going to make Mexico build that wall 10 feet higher because Mexico said there's no effing way they're going to build it.
I mean, it is so childish. And yet then they attack Cruz and Rubio for being childish. And it's like, oh, my goodness. What are you people watching?
Yeah.
I am watching
I know.
This grown man who's older than both Rubio and Cruz go out every day and name call, you know, and degenerate whole groups of people. I mean, look what he called Rosie O'Donnell. Now, I'm not a big Rosie O'Donnell fan. But, you know, you don't call people names. Come on.
Right.
I might think it under my breath sometimes.
Right, right.
But I don't do that. And if my child did it, I'd probably smack them. Because it's rude and it's disrespectful and it's not adult. And yet this seems to
right.
be the normal for him. At least
what And that's what people like because he's not politically correct.
Yeah. But he's playing games.
Yes.
He's playing games.
And
there's a great article
I'm,
out. And I would suggest anybody listening or anybody supporting Trump read it. It's called The Myth of Donald Trump. It's on the Washington Post. And it talks more about all of his failures and how nobody really knows how much he's worth because everything's private. It talks about how the Wall Street banks won't loan him any money because of his four bankruptcy failures where little people got hurt, too, that invested in those funds. And it owes $270 million to the banks. Now, I think, you know, another talking point. Oh, he owes no one. $270 million you owe to banks. I think that's something people really need to know. And when you bring
you
it up...
Did you post that article on our Facebook page?
Not yet, but I will. I was just reading it before we came on the air, and so I just basically got through it. But it was very... very interesting, and I'll paste it on our page so that people can see this, because it doesn't really accuse, but it just kind of tells you. And
well, he's
I
also
am,
not
I am,
showing his tax returns, which is okay. okay, you don't want to show your tax returns because they're in IRS audit. Well, IRS commissioner said, well, that's no excuse. He could still put out his, but, you know, if he's saying, oh, you can't find anything from a tax return, well, you're a businessman. Okay, let's see your financial statement.
Well, yeah, he put out something that said he was worth, you know, $10 million. Some people think he's only worth, or $10 billion. Some people think he's only worth about $2 to $6 billion. So nobody really knows because it's all secret. Why is it secret? Why is it secret? You're running for president. And so, to me, I don't get it. I just don't get it. And I'm very, very scared for our country.
He's a shrewd businessman is all he is.
I think he's a con.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to manipulate to make the deal. The art of the deal.
Exactly.
When I see Jeff, and this is bad. This is really bad because when I see somebody like Jeff Sessions endorse him in Alabama, I'm like, so how much money did he get? You know, what was the promise for that endorsement? Because this is the way this man makes me think. He's the only one. Like I said, Casey doesn't make me think that way. Now, Casey's a little liberal as far as social, and I'm a social conservative, folks. I am a social conservative. I am a pro-life voter, and every time Donald Trump speaks, it makes it much more harder for me to ever think I'm going to be able to vote for him if he gets the nomination. And if I'm feeling that, you can darn well bet your little bippy that all those people that stayed home for Romney in 2012 will not be at the polls. And what that means is that the Republicans lose the Senate and the White House. That scares
right.
me. And it scares me, too, because I don't know what Trump's going to do once he gets in. There's even reports out today that he gave a off-the-record interview with the New York Times on immigration that wasn't anything like he was telling people to their face.
Right. I had heard that briefly.
Yeah. But they don't listen. They don't listen. Oh, he's going to make America great. Oh.
Yep.
And I am disappointed, you know.
Oh, here it is.
I don't know how they trust him. I don't know how they trust him. But you and I, you know, women, I think sometimes, well, there's a lot of women supporting him too. But I'm that way. There's certain people that just kind of, I can tell you by looking at them. We kind of worked with one
here
that we both knew was not on the up and up. You know,
they're also talking about him. Yeah, they're also talking about Trump when he did. Skipped the Fox debate in Iowa that for the military shindig, whatever he did, that they haven't seen the money yet.
Yeah, I know. And it's
there's a lot of that chatter going on.
I know. And it's just really, really scary because we've actually got people like Senator Sassy coming out and say he'll support a third party run by a constitutional conservative if Trump gets the nomination. You know, this was our perfect opportunity to take the White House, the Senate, the House, and have total control. And now
right.
unknown. And I'm just don't know what I'm going to do if he gets the nomination. I'm hoping he doesn't. I'm hoping that people wise up. But, you know, there's just something that, you know, I don't know. I like his son. Whenever his son goes on TV, I'm like, oh, now I can support him.
His son's professional.
Yeah, Eric Trump is really, really nice. And he speaks eloquently. It's like, and that's your father?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it leaves me literally scratching my head like, seriously?
Right.
You know, is this persona that he's out there projecting to all these people just a farce?
Right.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know, because people like him. Friends like him. Rudy Giuliani and Bill O'Reilly.
Well,
they like him. So,
Rudy Giuliani, he said that Trump calls him and asks him for advice.
Oh. Which is really hard to put
I love Rudy.
Persona. You know what I'm saying? And that may be why we're having such a hard time, Barbara, because his public persona is false.
Right.
Either way, it makes him deceptive. You know, he's telling the people what they want to hear to get elected.
Right.
But he's also spouting liberal talking points, which just the conservatives, after they heard him defend Planned Parenthood, you know, that's when this Never Trump thing started. Because
it's been trending all weekend.
We are pro-life voters, and we don't support Planned Parenthood because they are the largest providers of abortion in the United States of America. And no, they don't provide mammograms. And if you've got cervical cancer, you can go to any doctor, and they are going to treat you. They're not going to leave you to die in the streets. That's another liberal talking point.
Right.
And these record turnouts we're having in the primaries, a lot of them first-time voters, and a lot of these open primaries, they're Democrats. They're independents. They're not the true Republican base.
Well, and also look at Chris Christie, another bully.
Oh yeah,
another bully who
said he would never ever endorse Trump. Said he would never ever endorse Trump. So, what did Trump?
What's in it for him?
Yeah, and so this just reinforces our distrust.
Right.
Because,
yep.
Like, wait a minute, you just said, you know, when you dropped out of this race, you would never, ever endorse him. And now you just did. Why did you do that?
Exactly.
You know, and it was conveniently after Rubio made Trump look like a fool on the debate.
You know,
so he had to bring out Christie to try to, you know, take down Rubio. That's what he was doing. It's a game. He's playing a game. I don't like to have games played on me. I don't.
Right.
It's another thing that turns me totally off. America has fallen a long way. I mean, that used to be kind of a common theme in America. Your word was your bond, you know. But I'm still a Ben Carson fan, and I'm not going to for him out of the race, because I think if he got out of the race, some of his supporters would go to Trump. The funny thing is,
yeah.
Ben Carson.
Well, no, I don't think so, because I think a lot of Ben Carson's people have already gone over to Ted Cruz.
Well, no, I know some of them already
and if they,
voted
if
in Ohio,
they're not,
so they're not.
But, you know, if they're gonna, why? You know, see, that's another thing too. About some people. Why are you going to compromise your principles? And we talk about this a lot. If you know, Ben Carson is an honorable man.
Well, he's brilliant.
He went from rags to riches. He went from rags to riches. He has been at the bottom, he made it to the top. He believes in God. He doesn't compromise on his principles.
He really believes in God. And I mean, the man speaks about God every day. I mean, it's not like, you know, he just says it like some candidates.
Right, he feels it.
He lives it.
He lives it.
That's why he talks about by the fruits you will know them, because that's what the Bible says, you know. So by what you see around them, you know, their works, their fruits, their actions, that tells you who the person is. And that's what he's saying. I mean, people make fun of him, you know, in his fruit salad, but it's a biblical principle. But his supporters are diehard, and like I said, they're already early voting in the
United States.
So, you know, if he drops out, it's not going to make a difference, because that core 5% of people are going to vote for him. Now, I'm going to tell you this. We don't vote till May in Indiana. Usually the nominee is decided by the time we vote.
Right.
And if it is, I'm voting for Ben Carson. But if there's still a chance, you know, to take Trump down, then I'll be supporting whoever that other person is. I'll take Kasich over Trump, because at least I know what he stands for, because he's got a record. And I may not agree 100% with him, but at least I know what I'm getting. You know, I'm so terrified. We don't know what we're getting.
Yeah.
You know, when you have somebody...
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't trust them.
He vacillates so much from one thing to another and makes contradictory statements. And if you go to his website, there's nothing about life on his website. This is why I don't trust him when he says he's pro-life. Because every pro-life candidate I know, actually every candidate running in this election, if you go to their website, it will say pro-life. I haven't been to Kasich.
Well, you know who else is supporting
pro-life?
I mean, even though Harry Reid endorsed Hillary, he thinks Donald Trump would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right there and then, that should tell you.
Yeah, it should.
Hell no.
That's what it tells me.
Hell no.
And the fact that when Ted Cruz was in Washington fighting the establishment, because this is great to me, too, about the Trumpsters. First, they want to call him a Canadian. You know, people,
right.
Get over your ignorance. Yeah, there's lawsuits and they're going to be thrown out. Because there's a U.S. law that says if you're born to an American or parent abroad, you're an American citizen. And furthermore, when he came back in the country at 4, if he was never national, he's either a natural born or he's not a citizen. It has to be one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no court in this land that's going to say he's not a citizen. They're just not going to do it. So it's a waste of time. And then you have to look at its intent. And if we didn't have the laws on the books and we were going strictly by the Constitution, I would say, no, he's not eligible and neither is Rubio. But if you go by the intent, what was the intent of the Founding Fathers when they put that clause in there? They had just broken away from Great Britain.
Right.
And the Church of England. And so they didn't want anybody with an allegiance to that country in power.
Right, right.
Because they fought a war and died over it. And so that was the intent. The intent was to have somebody with allegiance to America. We live in
right,
a much more
exactly.
complicated world. It's so easy to travel between the countries. And, you know, back then you had to get on a ship and go a week across the seas and whatever. You know, now you get on a plane, woof, you can be anywhere you want, you know. It's a much more complicated world. So if you look at intent... nobody doubts Ted Cruz's patriotism to America.
George Kennedy died.
Huh?
Whoops, I just saw that.
Oh, yeah. 91.
George Kennedy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just
No, that's okay. Yeah,
saw
I saw that.
That
earlier. But you know, I don't doubt his allegiance and I don't doubt Rubio's allegiance because you know they call him Anchor Baby. Because his parents had political asylum from Cuba, and I don't know that they were naturalized when he was born here. But they were
no,
illegal.
They were both illegal. They were both illegal when they were here.
They weren't illegal. They were refugees, because if you come from Cuba and you step a foot on the sand, then you're granted asylum. Don't
okay,
ask.
So they were...
If they catch you out,
yeah,
Cuba,
I know.
They send you back to Cuba, but if you got a foot on the beach...
Right.
You've got political asylum. One of those
yeah.
crazy laws that, you know, okay, I don't understand it, but it is the law. So they weren't really here illegally. So, you
well,
know, and
true.
He was born here. And so then, again, it goes to your definition of natural born, and I think you got to go to intent. But it's complicated, and we've never had a... We've never had a Supreme Court ruling on what natural born means. We never really have. But I get so sick and tired of hearing it because, you know, you're doubting their allegiance to this country. And we have watched,
right.
You and I have watched them. Rubio, the Gang of Eight, hurts him a little bit. But I'm tending to lean toward, I don't think we can deport all of them. And I'm thinking there's going to have to be some kind of pathway to legalization after we secure the border and get rid of all the criminals and the sanctuary cities and, you know, whatever. Because, you know, some of these people, there was a 40-year-old cop in one of the southern states. She didn't know she was illegal. She was working as a police officer. And then she found out that she wasn't an American citizen, so she quit. You know, so
wow.
You know, there are some special instances that we're going to have to look at. And you know me, I'm not no liberal, Barbara.
I know. You know, it was a few years back, there was this girl. She came over here when she was very young. Her parents brought her over. She went through school. She was a top honor student. She couldn't get a scholarship because they found out she was illegal.
Mm-hmm. And see, now, these people have been here for, and they haven't committed, their parents committed a crime. And I know
that's right, and it's the parents' fault.
It is.
But see, when somebody breaks the law, there's consequences.
Yeah.
And there's consequences that roll down. Like, you come over here illegally. You know, I mean, this kid was she was an honor student, great student, deserved scholarships, but couldn't get them because she was illegal. Now, there's a consequence for coming over, for her parents, for coming over illegal.
Which is why I say we have to seal the border first. Because we
got to
stop the border from coming. And then if they do come, we got to send them back immediately. We have to. So we can avoid this kind of, you know, ethical question of, oh, I've been here 30 years. I've not committed any crimes. You know, you're sending me back to Mexico? You know, so I'm not 100% hardcore on that. Like, deport them all. I'm not 100%. I'm not really. I want them gone. I want the criminals gone. I want the drug trafficking stopped. I want secure borders. I want that. But then I think after we accomplish that, which is not going to happen quickly, that we're going to have to examine what do we got left and what do we do. And I think it will go a long way once we secure the borders and quit letting them flood us with 50,000. I mean, we've got all these, over 100,000 kids that came in from Honduras and Venezuela and other countries here under the Obama administration have been placed all over this country. Those people need to go back.
Right.
You know, they haven't been here.
Okay.
They haven't been here 10, 20 years. They took advantage of a policy wearing Obama T-shirts when they came across the border. You know, those people need to go back. They need to be put on a plane and sent back. And then we need to work, like Ben Carson said, we need to work on their economy so they don't need to come here.
Right.
So they could stay in their own, you know, countries and have jobs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, you know, even Trump's like, well, I hire these immigrants because the Americans don't want to work for me. Because he's doing it down in Key Largo.
I was just going to say that.
But he's anti-immigrant. You know, it's like, okay, you say one thing, you do another. By your fruits, you shall know them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very, very frustrating to me. And then you hear these, oh, Trump's going to make America great. Trump's going to make it secure. And he's talking about how great. Oh, isn't this North Korea guy so cool? Look at him. He's acting like a boss. It's like, oh, my gosh.
This
is a serious problem. I'm laughing. It's not funny. The man's a lunatic who has nuclear capabilities and rockets. It's a serious issue. Why is Donald Trump saying these things? I don't get it.
He doesn't understand. I don't think he understands how the whole, you know, I complain because he doesn't talk much about the Constitution.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, my husband says, oh, he mentions the Constitution every now and again. Okay. Has anybody ever asked him what is the job of the president in the Constitution?
Well,
and I really want to know that answer. I really want to know that answer from him.
He's going to do all this stuff, this wall and stuff. He's going to do it. Like, but the Constitution, Congress has to make the law. You don't get to make the law. But I guess you
could
enforce the laws we have on the books, which the current administration isn't doing. But yeah, but I'm not sure that he understands it either. And it's I don't know. And we've kind of spent all our time on that, but we should be talking a little bit about Hillary Clinton. More
I know. I didn't see any, but more is coming out today.
Yes. And the thing is, there's two that they will not release at all. One was a conversation she had with Obama.
Yeah.
And another
there was a few of those.
Yeah, and there's another one. But see, these two, there's two they're not releasing to the public. And the other one, they're not really sure why is it that they're not releasing it, but they think it might have to do with the ongoing FBI investigation.
Mm.
It could be, but this is the whole thing. Why have they not charged her already? She signed a freaking piece of paper that said she was going to protect this information, and she didn't. And she didn't. And then she pretends like, well, it wasn't marked classified. Well, what, you know? Are you stupid?
Well, see that.
Because if you're stupid,
yeah,
you don't deserve to be president. It is your job as Secretary of State to know what should be classified and what shouldn't be classified. And what she really had them do was just erase the classification off the top so they could send it to her and she could plead.
Right, and copy and paste it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Copy and paste it.
So that way she could plead innocence. Because then,
oh,
you know,
I
she
had no idea,
said,
but you're absolutely
said,
right.
First she said that, at first she said that she didn't send or receive any classified information. And then if you watched, because I watched the presser, she came out and said, I didn't receive any information marked classified.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it changed.
Knew that she had, you know, I knew right that she had, but our news media is so complicit with the corruption and,
right,
you know, the destruction of our liberties that they don't report this stuff. Oh, just the
right.
Republicans, it's all the Republicans.
Yeah. They're picking on me. They've been going after me for years and they haven't had anything. But you know what? Look at everybody around the Clintons. Everybody who's been around the Clintons are sitting in jail.
Yeah.
Or have been pardoned.
Yeah.
Now, you know what a good thing, you know, here's one of my thoughts is if they go ahead and prosecute her now, Obama can pardon her.
True.
So if they let this go on and then get Loretta Lynch out of there and get Obama out of there. This way, she'll go to jail and she'll do time in jail without being pardoned.
Well, here's the interesting thing. She did an interview with Brett Baer today at 6, and she said that the Department of Justice, has not shared anything of the investigation with the White House or with the spokesperson. Is it Carney or is it a different one now? No, that Jay Carney was before.
Josh,
yes. And so he came out and said that there's no indication that she did anything wrong. Well, how would he know that if they aren't sharing information?
Exactly.
But she sat there on Brett Baer and said no information has been shared with Obama or any of his people, and she doesn't know where Josh Earnest got that information that he's feeding the press. So here we go. Plot thickens, but yet, do you think there'll be a media investigation on MSNBC about this?
Oh,
the
hell no.
The conflicting statements? Well, gee, why did Josh Earnest, do you think they'll be asking that question? I know Fox News will ask that question tomorrow. Well, the DOJ says they haven't shared any information, so how can you say this? But it won't run on your major news networks because it's all a Republican conspiracy.
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy. Bing thinks she looks good in orange. Yeah, that would be great.
Well, you know,
I don't know that it's going to happen, but that would be great, Bing. Go ahead, Barb.
If Comey resigns, then we know there's fishy stuff going on.
Oh, are there rumors like that, or you're just throwing that out there?
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying, because there a lot of people that know him say that he's a man of integrity.
Okay.
And you know, he's good. He's not political. He's doing his job.
Well, they're not supposed and to be. The Department of Justice is not supposed to be political either, but they have been politicized. I mean, there's several instances where they should have appointed a special prosecutor, and they didn't.
Oh, Lois Lerner, for instance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, they didn't target. And Obama, this is another investigation. There's nothing there. Before the investigation was done, there's nothing there. And yet Benghazi, he couldn't say anything for weeks and weeks because he had to let the investigation go on. But immediately, there's nothing there in the IRS. Oh, well, yeah, because they destroyed their hard drives. My gosh.
Yeah, but they...
But they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. Unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable. And, Ben Carson, this is what's so funny because, he did that prayer breakfast speech while he's standing next to President Obama and saying, if I wanted to destroy this country. And, of course, then he, for the first time in his life ever, he gets audited by the IRS. Nothing to be here. Nothing political about that. And yet the people of this country, with their blinders, just cannot, I don't know. To me, it's just very puzzling, And of course,
because a lot of people believe her and say, oh, no, it's just those pesky Republicans going after me again.
We got to have a woman president now. We've had a black man. Now we got to have a woman. Oh, and that was another controversy because Ben Carson just happened to say, I don't think anybody thinks that, Barack Obama had the typical black experience growing up, which is true.
Right.
He was in Indonesia till he was 10, and then he lived in Hawaii with his grandparents and went to private school.
He was
on
foreign aid.
Well, yeah, so we think. But, he came back from Indonesia at 10. So, he was in Indonesia with his mother, and then he came back at age 10, stayed with his grandparents, who were bankers, went to private schools. Ben Carson grew up in the inner city of Detroit with a single mother. Poor. That is a typical inner city black experience. And yet, the liberal media went bonkers. he's playing the race card. Well, no, he's not really. He's just trying to explain a simple common sense, message to y'all. But it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. The media coverage, once again, does not disappoint in their bias and their... and in fact, when they got accused of it, Bill O'Reilly said, well, you can't just, you've got to... You got to be, Rick Santorum was like, he got no news coverage, and he didn't. He didn't. Nobody knew he was in the race because they never covered him. It was always Trump. You got to do something newsworthy. You're running for president. I don't know. That's Trump's brilliance. That's kind of his brilliance, keep his name in the media. He does play that game really well. But again, that again... turns me off, Barbara, because I know he's playing the game.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. And then you see his supporters saying, they're not giving Trump any coverage, blah, 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 this, and blah, 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 that, and Megyn Kelly this, and Megyn Kelly that. And it's like, you're a bunch of weenie butts.
You're not being fair. You're not being fair.
Weenie butts is about
really?
The nicest I can be. That's just not a mean. I can't say those things as somebody else might say, but it's just like the double standard, that goes on. He can name call and he can do whatever he feels like, and his supporters rah rah rah, but say something bad about him. You're
mean. They're picking on me. They're stupid. They're ugly, and their mother dresses them funny.
Yeah. It really is. And what's bad is that Rubio has kind of slipped down to that level, and it is kind of comical to watch the back and forth as Trump. And I don't know if Trump has one of those immigrants actually working his Twitter account, or if he just doesn't know how to spell.
Right.
Because he tweeted, and Rubio actually read this tweet out loud. He tweeted that Rubio was a chalker.
C-H-O-G-E-R. Yeah.
It's like, okay. And a lightweight, you know, lightweight, he didn't spell it right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, okay, does he have, and then of course my mind goes, does he have one of those immigrants like running his Twitter account, or does he do it himself and he just doesn't know how to spell, you know, I don't know.
Don't they have spell check on there too?
Well, yeah, it does.
I don't get on Twitter very often, but I'm pretty sure they do have spell check.
Yeah, Uncle Bing, but I like Megyn Kelly. I think she's a nice-looking lady, and I think she's tough on everybody. I think she's usually pretty fair. She might once in a while get a bee up her butt and go after somebody pretty hard, but I watch her.
Well, did you watch her interviews with the candidates the other day?
I did.
She was like, he was all over Kasich, like, all right, shut up already.
Why? Because he was going into his campaign speech, and she didn't want that.
Right.
She wanted to take questions from the audience. So, you know, and I have no problem with that. The Trump supporters were, well, look, he's beating up on Kasich now. Well, it's because he was starting to ramble on about Ohio, and the audience there didn't want to hear about what he did in Ohio.
Right.
That's questions for him, you know, so... It was a little uncomfortable, but she had the guts to do it, and I admire that, you know.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have the guts to do that. I'm too polite, you know. And
yeah.
You know, that's her job. It was her job to control that conversation and let, you know, the people ask their questions. And I thought she handled it nicely when she said, yeah, I wish you could teach my husband.
Yeah.
Right, have it your way. She's like, I wish you could teach my husband that. So, you know. but then again, you know, I don't know. Yeah, her short hair is a little bit different, but she's just a beautiful lady, so I don't really think it matters a whole lot what she does with her hair. She's a good-looking lady. And I can say that. Actually, a lot of the Fox News ladies are brilliant. They're lawyers, and they're nice-looking ladies. You know, and even Dana Perino, she's so cute, like a little...
Yeah, I like Dana.
A miniature person, because she's so short. But you know, she's very thoughtful, very thought-provoking, and she sometimes, you know, she's not as conservative as, like, I am.
Right.
But she's always got good reasoning behind her points of view. So, you know, I can respect that, and I think many, many conservatives do kind of respect those differences. And I think we need to get that way in this country, and I don't think we're going to get there if Trump is a nominee. We're just not going to get
there. I agree with that.
Because he's causing division.
That he is.
And
I mean, even the Tea Party. I mean, the Tea Party, we were all for one and one for all, basically, you know. Even the Tea Party is all divided now.
Oh, I know. I know. It's crazy. We've always had our individuals within our party. You know, we've always had our little, you know, social conservatives, extreme right wing conservatives, our libertarian people, and then our moderates and even kind of liberal, you know, fiscal conservatives that not social conservatives. And so we've always had that diversity in our party, even though the Democrats say not that we don't have diversity, but we do. And that's what hurts.
Oh yeah,
that's what hurts us, because when we get into these campaign, like look at Bernie Sanders.
No, please.
Can you believe so many people support a socialist? This is the indoctrination of America's children. Oh my goodness.
That's exactly what it is.
He does not attack Hillary Clinton.
Because he promised he would not.
But he doesn't do that.
Because he promised his campaign it would not be like that. And that's why he doesn't. He's keeping his promise.
Yes.
Which I think is stupid, because that would help a whole lot.
Well, I don't know, because then in the general election, he beats all of our candidates. Now, figure that one out. I'm hoping their polls are wrong. I'm hoping the polls are wrong. But, you know, they have a misperception. You know, Ted Cruz is not... the liberals have villainized him, you know. So there's a misconception among a lot of people. But, you know, I think the media block out of Ben Carson is a deliberate thing, but because we can't have a common sense man who makes sense, who has solutions to all the problems in the spotlight, because that just blows our narratives all to pieces.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
It really does, because if you listen to him, he's actually more of a Rand. He's a very constitutional guy. He's a constitutionalist.
Yes.
And, you know, I love his insights into the Founding Fathers, because obviously he studied them extensively. And and so I love that when he talks, that he talks about those things, you know. And obviously Ted Cruz is a constitutional conservative and studied law and the Constitution and all that, too. But it just when you really listen to him, and like Bing said last week, we just need to give him a little pizzazz, you know. Give him a little shocker before he goes on stage. Although the last debate,
yeah,
I thought he better. He was a little more animated in the last debate than he has been. And it's again, he's not a showman. He's not a showman. He is a serious man with real solutions. And unfortunately, We're at a point in our history where that's underappreciated.
And it doesn't even matter anymore. One of the guys that I work with, you know, he's like, what is the sense of even fighting anymore?
I know.
Sometimes you feel like that. I'm like, no, we can't give up. We can't give up. We can't.
Well, and then you always think, well, maybe. And here we are. We're already talking like Trump's win, but we don't know that Trump's going to win the nomination. We don't know what's going to happen. This is actually my beef with the mainstream media is they're already nominating him, and he needs what, 1,000, 1,200 delegates. He's got 86. And
right.
Probably the most he could even pick up tomorrow would be 300. He's still not even there. You know, and if Rubio and Cruz each pick up 100, you know, they're still in this thing. And if Kasich picks up Ohio, it's a winner-take-all state. You know, we could have a brokered convention. It might get ugly. It won't be the first brokered convention. It happened with Ronald Reagan in, I think, 76. So, you know, it won't be the first brokered convention, but it's a very real possibility.
But I don't think Kasich's going to even win his own state.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't know. The problem is that they're dividing, you know, like the latest polls had Cruz and Rubio tied at 23% each.
Yeah.
So those two are actually drawing, you know, those two are drawing a lot of the voters.
Yes. A lot of Jeb's people went over to him because he is establishment.
Rubio? Not what I would consider establishment. He's not a John McCain.
You don't think he is?
No, he's not a John McCain, but... He's got, in fact, if you look at his conservative ratings, they're pretty high. The biggest mistake he made was with his amnesty push. And he was trying to get things done. I know a lot of people hold that against him, but if you really look at his record, and Rush Limbaugh, I'll even back this up, not that I listen to Rush. I don't listen to any of those guys. So, you know, it doesn't matter to me what Mark Levin says. I make up my own mind, you know, or Ann Coulter or Laura Ingraham or any of these people. I mean, these endorsements mean nothing to me because I don't make up my mind based on who endorses somebody. I'm puzzled, but it might be a comfort to me and allow me to vote for Trump, depending if he does get the nomination because of some of these endorsements. But I don't know yet. I don't know. I'm just at the point right now. It's like no.
Yeah, we do.
But when reality sets in, or if it becomes reality, that might be a whole different situation. But we're too quick to label people rhinos. And establishment, we're the ones that actually came up with the term establishment. And, of course, they told us there wasn't any such thing as the establishment.
Yeah.
We were the the ones talking about the establishment long before the media ever, you know, even recognized the establishment. The establishment are these rare politicians that have been there for decades and line each other's pockets with the lobbyists and the crony capitalists. You know, Trump is part of the establishment. He is a crony capitalist. He's paid money to the establishment. He's in bed with the establishment. This is another thing I don't get. We're trying to get an outsider. Trump is not an outsider.
Right.
And like Jimmy Carter said, he's so malleable because he has no core principle.
Exactly.
There's no core principle. I mean, you know, with Rubio, I can see the core principle. He believes in the greatness of America. He believes in the American dream. He believes it should be available for all Americans. You know, I can see that in Rubio. He truly believes that. You know, Ted Cruz strongly believes in the Constitution. And if he told Texas this is what he was going to do in Washington, and he held his line in Washington.
Yeah.
Now, see, this is why Rubio is behind in Florida, because of the immigration, because he promised them he wouldn't do it. And then he did it, you know. And so that's what's got him in trouble in Florida. But anyway, it's just you. Ted Cruz, I know what I'm getting. If Ted Cruz tells me he's going to do something, I know he's going to do it.
He's going to do it.
No matter what, he's not going to take pressure from, you know, being called names by Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell and John McCain. That's your establishment. You know, they're buddy buddies with Pelosi and hey, Charles Rangel is getting out. Yay, one crook down. Let's get him out.
Oh, good.
You know, and it is a very weird political cycle, as being mentioned. It's very strange and hard to make predictions. I haven't. And you know, it's just like crazy. And Trump's part of that. I mean, we've had record turnouts.
Yeah.
Predictions. Ted Cruz is taking Texas.
Yes.
And it won't be close. And I hope he picks up maybe
All the polls said that Trump was going to take Iowa, too. And he didn't.
I know. Because you have what these polls don't tell you is how many of those are undecided. You know? And how many of those are definitive votes? How many of those are voters that might change their mind? You know, you've got your core base who's never going to change their mind. They're going to vote for you no matter what. And then what has pushed Rubio over the line, like in South Carolina and Nevada, was those undecided voters. Those who were kind of like us, just a few weeks ago, you know, it's like, oh, I kind of like Carson, I like Cruz, you know, I wasn't heavy set on anybody. So some of these people, I think, you know, just when they're going into the polls, they make up their mind. So that's a prediction that's going to be hard to make. I think Trump is going to take Georgia. What do you think, Tennessee, being you're in Tennessee? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I hope that some of these guys come in and pick up, you know, a healthy amount of delegates. And the race goes on from there. But Trump's already said he's coming in at 9 o'clock with an announcement. So, you know, he's going to claim victory.
Oh, is he?
I don't think Carson's going anywhere, I think Carson's in till the end. I don't think he's getting out. He's got a message to spread about the establishment and the ugliness of politics, and he's going to do it. I think that's, in the end, that's beneficial to the American public. It's a public message that should be heard. You know, we were supposed to have these civilian leaders, and we don't have that now. We have a political class. And I could be wrong, but I don't think Carson's going anywhere. Kasich's not going anywhere until after Ohio. And I guess we'll just see what happens with Rubio and Cruz tomorrow, because that's really the big question. Which one of those?
I was actually surprised. I was glad, but surprised that Jeb got out so quick.
Wait, I mean, he didn't even come in close in any of the states. So,
And Rubio hasn't even won a state yet. At least Cruz won a state. He won the Iowa caucus.
Yeah, he won the Iowa caucus. So. And Rubio's come in second several times, but they're getting delegates. You know, they both are about tied in delegates. So we shall see.
Right.
We're about to run out of time. So thank everybody for tuning in. and we'll see you next week. And just say some prayers tonight for this country, because it's a scary time.
Yes, it is.
Good night, Barbara.
Good night, everybody. God bless.
Oh, so you can't. Night, everyone.
Night, everybody.